Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
Our last program, we featured the guest Gary Oates, and he's the author of a book that's been quite popular, Open My Eyes, Lord. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Jim.
It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back.
In the last program, you were talking to us about seeing visions of angels, and then finally you got into the presence of God and you saw how sinful you were. I'd like to hear about that.
Well, I had a real encounter with the Lord. It was in Brazil. I saw him in close proximity, and he was shining so brightly, and the radiance of his glory was penetrating me, and I felt like I was going to die. Sinfulness can't stand in the presence of God. There are a lot of issues in our lives that we're constantly dealing with that God wants us to be free from. And the more that we allow him to come in, the more those issues that we've been dealing with begin to leave our lives. And so when I had this encounter with the Lord, I was so acutely aware of my sinfulness that it brought terror to me, and I was crying out, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. And I honestly know that there was total forgiveness, because I received a measure of infilling that day like I had never experienced before. More of him came into my life, and as more of him came in, more of the garbage began to leave my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our last day in that one city. We went to another city, and the first church service that night, again, the presence of God was so strong, and the worship was just incredible. And at one point, the worship leader motioned over to the drummer to begin to play the drums, and he played a drum solo. Now, I had never heard a drum solo before. This was really strange to me, and I thought, what in the world is this? The intensity kept building, and the presence of God kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so I said, God, what is this? And God spoke to me, warfare. And then he said, open your eyes. Well, I opened my eyes and I look, and right behind the platform where the ceiling and the walls come together, I saw a large number of warrior angels come into the room. They were wearing a metallic-looking armor, and they had these bright, shiny, two-edged swords. They were swinging these swords like crazy, and there were these black blobs in different places around in the church, and these warrior angels would come, and they would hit that blob with a sword, and it would instantly disappear. And it was like, boom, I mean, like dive bombers just coming down, going all the way through and out the back of the church. Well, I thought, I'm losing my mind. I mean, I'm going crazy. I couldn't wait till afterward. And I asked the worship leader, I said, what was happening when the drummer was playing like that? And he said, well, that was warfare. And I said, oh, well, that's good. I said, did anything else happen? And he said, well, yes. He said, a bunch of warrior angels came into the room, and they drove all the demons out. They went all the way out the back of the church. Well, he saw exactly the same thing I saw. And so I thought, oh, praise God, I'm not going crazy. So that was a real interesting encounter, because I saw the power of God being displayed through these warrior angels overcoming all of the works of the devil. And it was amazing. It was an amazing sight to see. Then a couple of days later, they asked me to go back to pray for this man who was dying of brain cancer. And he was about 75 years old, maybe, and he had had surgery. The doctor sent him home to die. They said, there's nothing more we can do for you. While we were praying for him, I saw big angel's wings come out and go around the man, you know, like he was hugging him. And I thought, whoa, what is that? And as I looked, again, on the right side of that angel, I saw a smaller angel. This angel was blowing fire into the man's head. I mean, it looked like a blowtorch of fire going from the angel into the man's head.
My.
And I thought, wait a minute, what is this? So I asked the guy, I said, are you experiencing anything right now? Do you feel anything? What's happening to you right now? And he said, oh, my head is hot. My head's burning up. My head's on fire. And I thought, well, duh. And then he said, I'm healed. And I thought, well, praise God. I said, now, I want you to go back to the doctor and have the doctor to confirm the healing. He said, well, I don't have to. I'm healed. I know I'm healed. He said, everything has changed in there. I can feel it. I know I'm healed. And I said, well, I believe you're healed too, but I still want you to go back to the doctor and have him confirm it. So finally he agreed to. Well, just a couple of minutes later, both he and his wife prayed to receive Jesus Christ into their lives with tears streaming down their cheeks. It was a beautiful sight to see.
Okay. Now, he received this healing. He knew he was healed. And you asked him, would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life, become born again? And his response was, no. And you asked him a couple times, and his response was, no. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, that was really interesting because I said, would you like to receive Jesus right now into your heart and in your life? Because, see, the pastor, as we were walking back there, told me that this man and his wife didn't know the Lord. And so he looked up at me, and he said, no. And I said, what? I said, no? What do you mean, no? I said, after all God just did for you and you're rejecting him? And he said, no. He said, I don't want to have to go to this church. And I thought, what? What are you talking about? And he said, well, he thought that if he got saved in that church, if he gave his heart to the Lord in that church, that he would have to go to that church. Well, he had other family members that went there, and he didn't want to go there.
Oh, my.
And so I told him, I said, no. I said, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, you can receive him right here, right now, and you can go to whatever church you want to as long as it's a good Bible-believing church that believes in the miracles, the signs and wonders, the healings that are really moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so then he finally said, oh, okay, yeah, then. And so that's when he and his wife both prayed to receive the Lord. And it was just an absolutely beautiful sight to see.
Wow, wonderful.
But that was the first time I'd ever seen an angel involved in the healing process like that. And of course, since that time, I've seen literally thousands of times where angels were involved and used by God in bringing healing to people.
And here's the point. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't born again. That wasn't a requirement at that time. And angels came and ministered to him, and his body was healed. What a wonderful story.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen so many times where now when we go to these other countries, people receive healing for their physical bodies, and then they give their lives to Jesus. It's what we call power evangelism. They see the power of God. They see a demonstration of his glory. They see the reality of him in their lives because the pain, I mean, in some cases we've had blind eyes that have been opened, and then they gave their hearts to the Lord, deaf ears opened, tumors disappearing, lame walking, people coming out of wheelchairs, you name it. And then they would respond for salvation. This last time in Colombia, we saw that happen so many times on the trip where people received healing for their bodies and then receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Wow, what a story. Okay.
Yes. We went back home. That was our last night in Brazil. And when we went back home, I was wondering if that was just a Brazil thing or if that can happen at home.
Right.
And so when we got back to the church the first Sunday morning, I was blown away. As I sat there during times of worship, I looked around the church, and I saw angels everywhere. I saw them lining the walls of the church. I saw ministering spirits, worshiping angels. It was absolutely incredible. And obviously, things began to radically change in the church, because now I didn't have to wonder what God was doing. I could see what God was doing.
Mm.
And a couple of months later, Randy was having a conference. Actually, it was another ministry in the Atlanta area, but Randy Clark was there, and Heidi Baker was there, and a guy named Henry Madava, who pastors the second largest church in the Ukraine, was also there. And so I went to those meetings, and Henry Madava was ministering one day, and he had everybody to stand up. He was just starting into a time of ministry and praying for people, and when I stood up, I felt my angel walk up behind me and put his arms around my waist and begin to squeeze me. And I thought, what is that? Because I had never experienced that before. And I looked. I didn't physically see my angel, but I felt his arms squeezing my waist. And so the thought was, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Well, then the pastor Henry said, if God is touching you right now, he said, I want you to come down front. Well, I ran down front, and I stood there, and again, my angel put his arms around me. This time, he was squeezing even harder, and I became a little fearful at that point, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. Well, it was like instantly, my angel took me up, and it was like the space shuttle and the rocket ship. It was like, you know, the angel was the spaceship, and I mean the rocket ship, and I was the space shuttle, and we went all the way up into the heavens. I had a glimpse of the four living creatures bowing down.
Oh my!
But what I saw really scared me, because I saw these black, dark, swirling clouds all around. And there were flashes of light. It looked like lightning. It just looked like almost like a violent storm going on. And momentarily, I thought, whoa, did I go to the wrong place?
Yeah, wow.
Then I saw out of these dark gray swirling clouds, I saw these two deep red penetrating eyes coming out. And I saw thick white flowing hair. And then my angel picked me up, and he put me in the Lord's lap, and it was like I was there just in a fetal position, and I felt like my angel wanted to talk to me or show me around or something, you know, but that never did happen. But I was there and experiencing extreme peace and comfort like I had never known before. Well, then it ended. I don't know how long that went on, but it ended. I came back into my body, and I hit the floor. I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. It was like the presence and power of God was so strong upon me. And, you know, because of my Baptist background, I was really struggling with what was happening, and I was crying out to God, God, you're going to have to show me in the Bible where these kind of things happened. And so one day I was reading the Bible, and God directed me to Psalm 97. Flip there real quick. Psalm 97, the first three or four verses, says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. And then also in Psalm 18, verse 11 and 12, it says, he made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones, and coals of fire. And that's exactly what I saw. And then the Lord showed me in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 14, when John was taken up into the presence of the Lord and he was describing what he saw. Verse 14 of Revelation chapter 1, he said, his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. I saw exactly the same thing that John saw in the book of Revelation.
Exactly.
And from that point on, I felt the freedom to begin to talk about it, because I was afraid to say anything to anybody. They would think I was crazy. So anyway, the next night, Henry Madavo, the pastor, was speaking again. And he was ministering. He was talking about the fire of God and how that we should all be burning with a passion for more of the presence of God, and that the fire of God should be flowing through us, affecting people around us. And while he was preaching, God opened my eyes to see a big angel behind him. Henry's about 6 feet tall, and this angel was twice his height. And he had his arms extended out and these wings that flowed all the way down to the ground. And everywhere that Henry walked, the angel walked right with him. And then he began to, as he started to pray in ministry time, he prayed that God would release his fire in the church. Well, right when he said that, I saw a row of these angels in the top of the church back behind him. And they were just throwing fire out over the church. It was like a big blanket of fire, like a sheet of fire coming out over the church. And then it began to fall. And as it fell, it turned into flames of fire, individual flames of fire. And then they turned into balls of fire. And these balls of fire began to come down and hitting people all over the room. Well, again, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I thought, man, what is this? And I noticed that a lot of the people were being hit by these balls of fire, but some of the people, the ball of fire was still just kind of bouncing above their head. And I asked the Lord, I said, you know, what's happening? Why aren't these people getting this? What's happening here? And the Lord impressed on me to look at their countenance. Now, I did, and to be honest with you, I don't know if I was seeing with my spiritual sight or with my natural sight, but what I saw was a hardness in their expression. And then for some of them, it began to soften, and I could see that they were beginning to yield to what the Holy Spirit was doing in the room. And as they yielded, as their countenance changed, then that ball of fire hit them. But there were some people, there was a third group, that never received that touch, that ball of fire. It just gradually just drifted away and disappeared. And, you know, the thought really struck me. There were three groups of people there. What God was pouring out was available for every person in the room. Some people received instantly. They were hungry. They were desperate. They were open. They were yielded. Then there was another group that were slower to receive, but they did receive as they yielded, as they began to embrace what God was doing. But then there was a third group that never did receive, but it was available for them. And I think that's a good picture of us today, where what God wants to do is available for every believer, every one of us. And as we yield to his purpose and his plan for our life, and as we're willing to lay our lives on the altar, as Paul said, I die daily. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, they didn't have a funeral for him every day. It wasn't that kind of a death. He was saying, I no longer want to live according to the desires of my flesh. I want to live according to the desires of my Father. God is ministering now to those of us who have a hunger and a thirst for more of him, and stirring up that hunger and thirst for those who have really gotten away from God. They're not interested in the things of the Spirit. They've actually been resistant toward that. I think those walls are being broken down now, where people can truly receive and embrace what God wants to do in their lives and receive freedom and deliverance and salvation. I know a lot of people who have had real encounters with the Lord, but they didn't change their lifestyle and nothing really changed in their lives. I think it's a combination of both an encounter with the Lord, like I had, which is available for every believer. God doesn't show partiality. It's available for every believer if we're willing to pay the price. And then to begin to walk that out in reality, developing a close, deep, intimate relationship with the Father and walking in obedience to His Word and to His will. And that's the way I see it. Yes, absolutely. What I call the prayer of Romans 6:13 is giving over our five senses to the Lord to be activated, to be used for His glory. And that's a part of the yielding process that we must all go through. Because you know as well as I do that, you know, our eyes, you know, we look on a lot of things that we shouldn't look at. And are we really willing to give our eyes to the Lord so that we can see what He's doing, so that we can see from His perspective? Even our ears, we listen to so much stuff we shouldn't listen to. And we're being barraged all the time with every evil thing we're both seeing and hearing. And there comes a time to saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to put a filter over my ears. I'm going to filter out all the noise of the world so that I can hear the quiet whisper of the Lord. I want to hear His voice. I want to know what He's saying. I want to see what He's doing. And I want to walk in the way that He is showing me. And then even our mouth. You know, I see it everywhere I go. I mean, even believers, foul mouth, saying improper things everywhere. And are we really yielding our mouths to be instruments for God? Are we willing to say, God, I yield my mouth to You. I don't want to speak that garbage I've been speaking in the past. God, I want to speak Your word. And then, like even our nose, we're so used to smelling the stink of the world, and it becomes acceptable to us. But are we willing to say, God, I want to draw close to You. I want to become intimate with You. God, I want to know Your heart, Your life, Your way. God, I want to draw close to You. God, I want to be so close to You that I can smell Your sweet fragrance, that I can smell Your perfume. And are we willing to allow our hands not to touch anything unclean, but are we willing to say, God, I give You my hands that they may be Your hands extended. Lord, that these hands would reach out to those in need, that these hands would be laid on the sick and they would recover. So God, I give You my hands. And are we willing to give Him our feet? Are we willing to go where He wants us to go? You know, too often we veer off the path. We're going in the wrong direction. We're following after the wrong gods. We're following after the idols that we've built up in our hearts, and we're going in the wrong direction. Are we willing to say, God, I'm willing to turn around. God, I want to walk with You. I want to walk in cadence with You. Where You are, that's where I want to be. God, I want to walk. I want to walk with You. And are we willing to say, God, I give You my heart, the hardness of my heart. I give You the hurts and the wounds of my heart. God, I want a soft and a pliable heart. I want a whole heart wholly given over to You. Are we willing to give Him our mind? You know, the mind is the battlefield. That's where the battles are won or lost. It's right there in our mind. And, you know, what's going on? What are we playing in our mind throughout the day? You know, what are we listening to in our mind all day long? Or are we willing to give our mind over to Him that it might be renewed, that it might be a pure mind, that we might actually have the mind of Christ, just like the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse there. But we have the mind of Christ. We have all of these things available to us as we can learn to activate our spiritual senses to participate in the realm of the Spirit and what God is doing.
The disencounter, is that all you need?
Well, what I did was I prayed. I became interactive with the Lord, and I really meant business with Him. And so when I walked through that prayer, basically just what I just said, I just kind of walked through that in my mind. And, you know, I've been doing that for years now. Not to gain standing with the Lord, or not for a performance basis or anything like that, but as a daily reminder that I'm yielding myself to His Spirit, to walk in His ways. And we can all do that. We can all learn to develop an intimate relationship with the Father. You know, I used to say that reading the Bible and praying, that was my time alone with the Lord. Well, it's good to pray. It's good to read the Word of God. It's vitally important for us to know and understand the Word of God and to pray and intercede for others. But God wants more than that. He wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. And we're the ones that must initiate that with Him. You know, the Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So we take that first step of yielding ourselves to Him, not going with any agenda, not asking for anything, but just more of His presence. And just get still and get quiet and allow Him to begin to speak. That's when we come into His presence like that, that's when our eyes are open to see what He's doing. That's when we can clearly hear His voice. That's when we can smell the fragrances of heaven. We can smell His presence. You know, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can literally feel His embrace. So all of these are critically important to begin to embrace the supernatural realm of the Spirit and to walk in the fullness of all that God has for every one of us.
There are those people that are listening today. They're saying, I want what Gary's teaching about. I must have that. Gary, could you pray for those people?
Yeah, I'd love to do that right now. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant came up to Elisha and he said, you know, we're in big trouble. The enemy's come. They've surrounded the city. They're coming after us. They're going to kill us. And Elisha said, oh, you know, that's no big deal. He said, there's more with us than there are with them. And the servant, I can just imagine him scratching his head saying, what? What are you talking about? There's more with us than there are with them. He said, there's two of us. One and one is two. There's only two of us. There's thousands of the enemy. And then Elisha prayed a prayer. He said, oh, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see. And instantly the servant's eyes were open. He saw the chariots of fire, the armies of the Lord, the heavenly hosts. They were surrounding the enemy, far outnumbering the enemy. You see, they were there all the time. There were two people in the same circumstance saw it from two different perspectives. Elisha was full of faith and confidence because he saw beyond the natural physical realm into the supernatural realm of the Spirit. The servant was full of fear. It's like, we're dead. It's all over, because he was looking at the natural circumstances. And I want to pray that prayer for every person that's listening right now. It's a very simple prayer. We've seen this impartation happen countless times all over the world as people begin to develop a deeper relationship with the Lord, having the eyes of their spirit open to see what God is doing, to see the ministry of angels. So I want to pray that prayer with you right now. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your sweet presence to come upon every person right now. Oh, Lord, I pray, open their eyes that they might see, that they might see beyond this natural physical world into the supernatural realm of the Spirit. God, that you'd remove the scales from their eyes. God, that they would begin to see you as you really are, a God of love, a God of compassion. And Father, I pray for a stirring up of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are resident within them. And Father, my desire is to see every person fulfill the call of God on their lives, to walk in the destiny that you have for them. And Father, I thank you that this is a big step in that direction. So Father, we ask it to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our program today.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding KK-1.